principles are everything, right? So my name is Arturo Toledo, and I manage a very small boutique shop called Toledo Design. I decided to go for my last name because that's easier. And we're a small team of 5 people right now. I think one of the interesting things that I found throughout these last couple of years working as an independent designer and then the years I worked with Microsoft was that there are these two different things, principles and language. The thing that I've learned to grow and to really love and follow are the principles. I think once that you learn the principles, once you give yourself the opportunity to read the books that you have to read to learn the principles, the language that comes out of that will tend to be beautiful. Once you adopt principles, you release yourself from a very strict and constraining language, and you open yourself to tons of possibilities. One thing that I always share with people that I talk to, whether it's developers and designers, is that there is no such thing as I'm done defining my design language through design principles. It's a lifetime. You know, take a look at some of the masters from design, modern design, like Massimo Vignelli or Joseph Mueller-Brockmann, any of those guys. They took their entire life, and they could have easily taken another 100 years if they could have, to continue to explore the language. One of the things we try to do in each project, in each Windows Home project, is push it a little bit more. What I like to measure me and my team against is, like, after a few iterations, where are we compared to the past? And the principles is the only compass that allows us to get there. If we follow a language, then we would be stuck. So you're suddenly presented with a challenge. Wow, this language that is optimized or, you know, maybe focused a lot on content consumption is not fully enabling me to get there. So where do we rely, or what do we rely on in those cases? It's the principles, the design principles. And I think that the biggest satisfactions I think we've had in the last couple of years have been when we've acknowledged the limitations of the language, but we've gone back to the Microsoft design principles as originally explored by the Windows Phone team, then adopted by all of Microsoft. And we've always found really good answers and solutions. I think the Microsoft design principles, one of the things that I've proven time after time is they are so universal and timeless that when used properly, there are just no limitation on the types of apps that you can design. But I think the key is that one, to pay particular attention in studying the principles. Of course, the language is important, but the principles definitely much more critical, I think. Yeah, it ended up being 24 weeks of Windows Phone design. That was an interesting story because in 2011, I remember Jeff Blankenberg, I believe is his name, from the community, and he was writing basically something like a 30 days of Windows Phone development or something like that. But he actually did publish one post every day, which was amazing, right? So when I committed with the community on January the 1st of 2012 that I would be doing 30 days of Windows Phone design, and after day 2, I realized that was just impossible, just a lot of work. So I ended up extending it little by little until I got to 24 weeks. The thing that triggered me to do that is that, you know, I had been working for Microsoft for a few years in different user experience related roles, but that last year I had the big opportunity. I was lucky, honestly, to be able to join the Windows Phone Design Studio back then with Albert Shum, Jeff Fong, all these, you know, kind of great minds behind the original Microsoft Design Principles. And it was shocking to me to arrive to a studio where just the level of design thinking was so much bigger than anything I had experienced in my life. Personally, and certainly within Microsoft, the level of conversation, the crits were smart, were on point. They were just so smart. It was like going to a design TED conference every day there, and you learn just by hanging out with these designers and hearing, you know, hallway conversations. It was great. And one of the things I quickly realized is that the level and understanding they had for modern design principles. Not in modern as in the Microsoft modern design language, but in modern design principles as in the principles explored by masters of the 20th century, I still had a lot to learn. I definitely had a lot to learn. I could realize they were talking about typography, they were talking about grids, you know, and I still had to learn a lot of those things, even as a designer, because, you know, I think in the 2000s, a lot of us, we got very carried by things like Flash and like all these things that basically triggered a little bit of anarchy in our design practice. So I loved that year with the Windows Phone team because it was kind of a comeback to the basics and no clutter, no adorners, no need to overstate certain things visually. Just show what you need to show, design what you need to design, and just convey what's minimum needed. It was great for me. I was trained as an architect, so that was kind of a comeback to that. And that was a great year. So the challenge I put to myself is, okay, you have to write a blog post every day or every week so that you can, you know, use that as a mechanism to learn and get to the level of these awesome people that you have to talk to every day and have some credibility with, right? So I started going through that process. And of course, as soon as you put yourself into that type of situation, you force yourself to start doing research, read, talk to people, ask questions, practice. And that's the whole goal of 24 weeks of Windows Phone designing was kind of that. It started as a selfish act of, you know, I want to catch up. And then it turned into something that the community seemed to take very well. It seemed to be ended up being very useful for a lot of people. And I think that the reason it ended up being well received was because it tended to be very practical, and it tended to go beyond just the guidelines, which again, the guidelines are a reflection of the language. And what I found there, again, is a validation that if you follow the language, you're gonna stay within this spectrum of possibilities of the principles. And that was kind of the big takeaway there. So 24 weeks, we've had about 10,000 downloads. Since then, we released it as a kind of ebook companion people can download. And I don't remember the link right on top of my head, but it's available there. And yeah, it's been great. We're actually starting to plan based on the success of that one, another book for this year, which hopefully will focus more on the principles now, as seen by us. So that was a fun experience. We have a couple of people here in Seattle, including myself, and a few more people in Mexico City. My brother Alejandro, he's my partner. His history is more on development, though he's been turning himself little by little a little bit more into a user interaction designer and a design integrator, which again, that was another kind of the big takeaways from working with Albert's team, the fact that that team was the first one in Microsoft who committed to deliver not just beautiful comps, but the actual SAML markup. And that was, I think, a breakthrough internally in Microsoft on the quality of the deliverables from the design team. It raised their responsibility and their stake in the game, but you know, no longer you had the conversion challenge, which we've seen throughout years, right? You deliver beautiful comps and then engineers take those comps and maybe they don't necessarily end up looking the same. So here the design team was crafting the markup itself. So I basically grabbed my brother when I started this little studio and I said, like, you're the design integration department, and we've been having a great collaboration there, all the way from architecture to design integration. We started with the original Windows Phone design principles back in the day, driven by basically fierce reduction of elements, content not Chrome, alive in motion, celebrate typography, and I'm forgetting another one, authentically digital. Then a couple of years later, there was a little bit of a revision of those principles. And so we now have things like pride in craftsmanship, win as one, less is more, et cetera, et cetera. So as part of this 2-year exploration we've been doing, we've also been doing a refining process of the principles themselves. I think by now I can still say we're following the very same principles. Absolutely no doubt that the roots are the same. We're just little by little, with practicing with project after project, start to expand the horizons about some of these specific things. For example, the win as one principle, probably the big takeaway there is that we could leverage the contracts and all these other services and create a unified integrated experience, live tiles, so your application goes beyond your application and steps out into the start screen. So it creates a unified Windows experience, absolutely valuable experience things. So when we talk to clients who are asking us for both Windows and Windows Phone apps, we usually incubate those two ideas from the very beginning at the same time. We forget about a little bit about contracts and some of these other typical controls like app bar or navigation bar in Windows and all these things. And we just try to think about cross-device, cross-screen experiences, which, if you think about it, Windows One is really all about that. It's like, how do you deliver one single experience? One trend that we've noticed in the last few years is that people are starting to not think about apps, and they're starting to think about experiences. So instead of saying, let's create, you know, a sailing app for phone or a sailing app for a Surface tablet or for Windows, instead of that, let's just see how we can enhance the sailing experience for our user. And the phone will have its role, the tablet will have its role, the desktop will have its role, and in the future, the TV will have its role in enhancing the sailing experience. If I were to do a quick summary of the way we interpret the principles today for us, modern design principles, one of them is, we call it structured information. So structured information, if you take a look at everything that Microsoft has been doing for Windows and Windows Phone, everything revolves around two key ingredients, which is grid and typography. If you, as a developer or as a designer, you can learn how to use those two, you're already in the next level. And I'm still learning. Yesterday, I still had a call with a good friend of mine that I admire a lot. He's an Xbox design lead here, and he still schooled me in 10 minutes on grid. So it's a process that you continue to learn. But if you learn how to use grid and typography, you're there. The ultimate goal of grid and typography is to convey structured information. And that's something that originally other platforms like iOS or Android didn't really embrace. It wasn't about structured information. It was about Chrome and adorners and textures. Of course, since then, we've seen how the entire industry has, in a way, kind of trailed back from what Microsoft started a few years ago, thinking about the fact that content is king and information is what should matter. The other thing that I think is very, very exclusive, and we've realized it this countless times in these 2 years, difference between the Microsoft / Windows experience and iOS and Android is the level of immersion that it offers. And see, here's the thing. If you take a look at iOS 7 or Android, as it was announced recently, they sell the idea of depth on the Z-axis. And I think that's cool. Obviously, that's what digital devices should do. However, the way that Microsoft has been baking this for a few years, which I still feel more attracted to, is Microsoft has paid a lot of attention to sell this immersion on the three axes, X, Y, and Z. If you take a look at Panorama, Pivot, Grid View in Windows, even if you go all the way to Xbox and you take a look at the dashboard, the feeling that you get in Microsoft screens is that you're dealing with content or information or UI that steps outside of the screen borders. And that, to me, is pretty magical. I still remember the first time I grabbed a phone, a Windows phone, Windows Phone 7, and I swiped over a panorama. And the feeling that I got was immediately like I was in one of those TV ads where you see information flying outside of the phone. Because it really feels like that. This is another very practical tip, content picking. Right? In order for you to sell that idea of continuity beyond the screen limits, you have to show a little bit of what's coming next. That's a typical thing we help developers fix in their apps, where if you don't see anything, then you're not selling the idea of continuity. But if you sneak out a little bit, then you're hinting the user, hey, there's, you know, swipe me. I want to be swiped. Swipe me. And so you go to the next section. And as soon as you do that, you kind of enjoy, you give the user this enjoyment of dealing with more content. And in a small screen, suddenly expanding, giving you that immersive experience that you're expanding beyond the screen, I think it's very powerful. And the Microsoft design language, in that case, has allowed that to happen. So we, in our projects, we try to emphasize that. We pay so much attention to content peaking, to the sides, to the top and the bottom. And honestly, one of the things I'm very kind of excited about exploring in the future is doing more Z-axis exploration, which, right now, in order for you to do that, you really have to jump into, as a designer, into something like After Effects to do some motion exploration. And so I'm really hoping, really pushing myself and my small team to start doing some more motion exploration during this year. You'll be able to edit these probably in little nuggets. So I'm just talking and talking.
No, it's perfect. It's
yeah.
Just-